Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Linda Kenyon. President Trump is defending his promised trade tariffs with Canada and Mexico and brushing aside any short-term economic fallout.
Our country's been ripped off for many decades, and we're not going to be ripped off anymore.
The president was interviewed on Fox Business. The tariffs will kick in on April 2nd. Mexico's president, speaking at a large rally, declared herself optimistic about the future of the trade relationship with the U.S. CBS's Adrian Bard reports from Mexico City.
Mexico City trade expert and lawyer Terena Ramirez says consumers will pay the price if President Trump reinstates the tariffs.
The situation is a little bit scary.
Products that could cost U.S. consumers more include vehicles, produce, and appliances.
The products will be much more expensive.
But for now, a reprieve, and thousands of Mexicans will be cheering that today. Adrian Bard, CBS News, Mexico City.
Canada's Liberal Party is voting today to choose a new leader to replace Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. CBS's Ed O'Keefe reports from Ottawa.
The leading challengers are Mark Carney, a central banker and economist, and Chrystia Freeland, who used to serve as Trudeau's foreign minister. Whoever wins the Liberal Party race inherits the tariff fight with President Trump and has to call a general election by October.
Prime Minister Trudeau announced in January he would be stepping down after serving nearly a decade in office. The nation's top weather and climate agency is cutting jobs. CBS's Tracy Wolf reports.
Sources tell CBS News that over 1,000 employees are potentially at risk of losing their jobs if the Department of Commerce accepts NOAA's plans. This, in addition to previous cuts to probationary employees and those that accepted buyouts, would result in an overall loss of 20% of NOAA's staff.
NOAA has more than 12,000 employees worldwide. Hamas is blasting Israel's decision to cut off electricity to Gaza. CBS's Linda Gradstein reports from Jerusalem.
Hamas, which controls Gaza, called the Israeli decision to cut off electricity part of Israel's starvation war against Gaza's 2.2 million Palestinians. It comes after Israel last week announced it is cutting off all supplies of goods to the territories.
Israel says its decision to cut off electricity will affect only one desalination plant in central Gaza, but that plant provides clean drinking water to Palestinians. This weekend marks 60 years since the March 7, 1965 attack on voting rights marchers in Selma, Alabama, in what has become known as Bloody Sunday. Today was a reenactment of the crossing of the Edmund Pettus Bridge. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. There's a new federal approach to handling bird flu. Mike Moen reports.
Last week, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins released a five-pronged strategy and $1 billion investment to keep avian flu in check and reduce rising egg prices. The new measures focus largely on fixing on-farm biosecurity gaps, as well as push for a new poultry vaccine. Megan Davis with Johns Hopkins University says it's encouraging, but she worries about the lack of specifics in pivoting away from current methods of handling infected birds where farmers depopulate their flocks.
Our current quarantine and stamping out policy has been in place for quite some time. There's a reason it exists. These birds get really sick, so their animal welfare issues are not going to recover.
The federal move comes at a chaotic time for avian flu response. Under the Trump administration's federal spending crackdown, several key bird flu workers were fired by the USDA, and the department is now struggling to rehire them. Davis says the U.S. lags behind other countries with collaborative teams of experts to holistically assess outbreaks. She warns a patchwork investment won't make up for huge federal workforce losses of key researchers.
I have major concerns moving forward that we will not have good eyes on this virus, and that if it would, heaven forbid, start to really develop a human-to-human transmission chain, then that's a huge step down that path towards pandemic.
In the past 30 days alone, the virus has infected more than 107 flocks nationally, affecting nearly 13 million birds, that according to the USDA. So far, 70 people have been infected and one person has died from avian flu in the U.S.
That's Mike Moen reporting, and I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. Tonight, mostly clear, lows around 30. Mostly sunny and breezy for Monday with a high near 65. Clear skies Monday night, 27. For Tuesday, sunny and 40 degrees. 50 for Wednesday, 60 for Thursday. Mid to upper 60s Friday.
It's 60 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow.
I'm practicing my quiet voice because Monday is my wife's birthday and she's sleeping in. One of the occupational hazards of trying to do a radio show from home.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And the white line's getting longer and the saddle's getting.
What's up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco, the one-stop shop for the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin, where you come to learn about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, loving, living every day, heard on your Civic Media stations throughout the state, 21 of them, every Saturday at 11 o'clock. We love to have you along. My name is Joel Clayfish. I have the honor and fun to host this show alongside my decades-long sidekick,
hello,
co-host of the show, the crazy Danielle Fairman.
I love how you change it with crazy. I feel like you're going to
I was going somewhere else with it, and I decided crazy was the best thing I could say. Danielle Fairman, this woman is the real deal when it comes to hunting and fishing. She will put her hands under rocks in hopes that massive catfish on.
The big 50-pound noodling catfish.
She's done it. I'm so excited about this show. Every week we have a show and I think, I don't know how it can get better. And we end up with some guests that are so phenomenal. Danielle and I are going to go through that. Ellie Mae Lawton is here for our recipe of the week, our chefferie, our classically trained French culinarian is with us. And I'm really excited to welcome Wendy Christensen to the show. Wendy Christensen is a taxidermist, but she's got a connection that's going to blow your mind in a story we're going to talk about. Not only is she just a taxidermist, this woman makes art that wins her national recognition for her work. I'm a little, honestly, we're in the fishbowl in WFSH here in Concord, Wisconsin.
The fishbowl, I love
and
it.
And we're surrounded by a lot of taxidermy, and I'm almost nervous about it because I know she could look at every piece and be like,
Wendy probably feels at home.
Right?
I do. This is definitely my forte around here.
What makes me nervous, though, is she can look at that and say, that's not right. I would have done that differently. They didn't tie it right in the back.
Those eyes.
The corner of that nose isn't perfect. But I'm saying, look from afar. Because it's good from afar, but far from good.
That's one way to put things. I guess I never thought of it that
way. That's what they say about me, too.
Danielle, good for you. I hope they say that about me. Good from afar, but far from good. Because I know the far from good part, but from afar, I hope I look all right.
Spectacular.
I don't know. I've still got my hair.
So I feel like we need to go into our weekly whiskers right away.
Yes.
Because I have so many questions for Wendy.
I have a ton of questions for Wendy. And I'm just going to tease this real quick. We're about to do our weekly whiskers. And of course, we've gotten into entire cooking segment that Danielle is going to be a part of today. She brought this sweet potato salad.
Rainbow salad.
Sweet potato rainbow salad.
I'm in a spring mood.
To die for. I'm not joking. It's fantastic. You did a great job with that, Danielle. And every week, you know, what is Raised in Wisco at the end of the day?
A cooking show.
So we're going to get into the weekly Wiscos. I'm going to tell mine right away, which is...
Oh, yeah? I'm so excited. What is it?
Well, Ellie Mae Lawton is the is an official certified French chef for The Foul Life as well. And she cooks for
and
the
And that's
provider.
All he needs to say about his weekly whisk. I feel like
there's things to be said. I'm so
we
excited.
Came up with the great, we would find out, harebrained idea of let's cook on the ice. Because how cool is that? And we're not going to have a lot of good
Haven't
ice for very
like
long.
Hot and windy?
It has been.
Sure,
it has been.
Oh,
but
man.
There's about two sure feet was. Of ice out there. So we came up with the idea.
Once you get to it.
of cooking on the ice. So we brought this sled down with stuff to cook on the ice. And first I want to say, whatever kind of cooking you're going to do in a kitchen, multiply it by at least two, the difficulty of bringing everything out onto an ice surface and setting up and doing it out there. And then making it pretty for television, making pretty pictures, making sure the audio works without the wind. So we're out there in about a 20 mile an hour wind.
Oh, you no.
I take my first step onto the ice and my foot goes through.
Oh, no. Wow.
And I just look at him. I'm like, we're out of here.
Yeah,
we're
done.
We're out.
I believe it. I would have been
load up the truck. I'm out. Back in the truck. Do you need help putting that back in the truck? So I take my first step, it goes through, but I see people ice fishing and I'm thinking they must have safe ice. So I got past the shoreline break and it was very safe ice. It was about a foot and a half of solid ice once you got past.
The shoreline's always first to go.
Shoreline's always first to go. That's for sure. So we get out there, then some local friends of ours who were at the Hideaway Bar, Charlie Osborne, VJ Scully, president of the local bank, they came out and decided to be our assistants.
Ooh, Danielle had sous chefs.
Oh, look at you.
She had
sous
chefs on the ice.
And spectators.
So now we were trying to figure out like how to incorporate them into the cooking segment. We're on the ice. The stuff's blowing around like crazy. We can't keep the stove lit.
Oh,
it's going out and we're trying to put, you know, to put TV together. And it, at the end of the day, the video, the pictures were beautiful. Chef Lawton did a phenomenal job as she always does. And we put together this goose stir fry, this Canada goose.
Stir fry on the ice?
Yes. Oh,
what? I was expecting a fish recipe.
Gosh.
No.
It was unbelievable. This was like sky and sea. We were on the sea cooking sky, right?
Yeah, I love it.
And what she did, and I'm hoping, is that your, are we going to do that for the cooking segment? Because I'm going to leave,
we
leave
can.
That.
Yeah.
Because that was unbelievable. I would say the number one thing people say they don't want to eat when it comes to wild game is, Danielle?
Goose. The goose.
Canada goose.
Yep. It's always like sky goose. Carp, they call
sky
it.
Right.
So good.
Well,
and
when
I love
you
it.
Know how to cook it, it is really fantastic.
Exactly.
So I don't want to take all the time with my weekly whisko, but I ended up being a great time. Great to see Charlie and VJ and all the other dozens of people who came out from the Hideaway to watch us in our missteps. And then on top of it, we're slipping around on the ice.
of course.
It was perfect. But I'm telling you, producer Jess, you would have absolutely loved this wild
goose
stir fry.
So why didn't you give me a call?
We'll have to make that. Well, it was Sunday. That's why we didn't. Okay. It was Sunday and I knew you were not available Sunday. So
no, I'm usually available.
I promise you we will have you. What's that?
What?
I thought you said something. Anyway, producer Jess is along. She's the one who keeps this show on the road and gets us all in our place. And we are very, very sad that we're not in the same building as her anymore. However, we get to see her by the computer and by our StreamYard. So thank you for everything you do. As always, Jess, we're so excited that you've become such a great part of the show and part of the great outdoors. That's my weekly whisko. Danielle, what do you got?
Oh, well, it's shed hunting season, so I was out in the woods.
Yeah.
I had a little incident in the woods, though. Bandit likes to jump on things, and he fell over, and he cannot use his back leg. Right
now.
Oh, no.
Did he hurt his back?
Yeah, he hurt his spine.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's...
Was it a stinger?
Now I'm about to cry. It was a very rough.
I would say it was rough.
Bandit is
going to be all right?
He'll be okay.
He is on a bunch of pain meds, muscle relaxers, and if he is not... better by Saturday, they think it's a neurological thing. So.
Oh. So yes. is he able to move his legs at
He's
all?
He's able to move his legs. That's why they're not completely worried. But they said this, because when you would just gently pet his back, it's a lab. He loves being pet and play and fetch and everything. He just keeps crying.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna pray for Bandit's recovery, and everybody put him in your thoughts and prayers, because Bandit is the official mascot. Mm-hmm. Out of Raised in Wisco,
yes,
so
he
we do care very much about Bandit's welfare. Ellie, what do you got?
I'm kind of really sad right now.
Oh, I understand that.
Okay, so after the stressful day on the ice, I also went to the woods and went on a long hike to decompress.
Oh, nice.
Woods does that.
Did you enjoy one of the public parks in Wisconsin?
No, I did not. I went and hiked some private family property.
Oh, yeah, that's
so it was
fun.
Nice. I was the only one there. It was wonderful.
So you were kind of sort of shed hunting, but
I was
shed
hunting. Yes, but it was just a decompression walk.
Nice.
Well, decompression breaths and decompression walks are sometimes
it was beautiful.
Very
I
necessary,
on a full belly
no
too.
Doubt
that sounds
it.
So good.
Yeah,
gooster. Mm-hmm. I'm a sucker for stir fry.
Telling you,
we'll make it again.
This tasted like she used like a cross between a sirloin and tenderloin beef. It was unbelievable because the way she prepared that made it tender and delicious, and it still had some bite and some timber to it. You know, what you want out of a steak, but there was no gaminess to it, nothing whatsoever. And whatever sauces, and we'll let her describe that when we get to the cooking segment, but it was unbelievable.
I believe it.
Wendy Christensen. Give us just a smattering of your background because we're going to get into some really cool stuff.
Okay. So I am, as you mentioned before, I'm a taxidermist. I started when I was 12 years old.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I started as with a correspondence course by mail. And when I was 12, you didn't have access to all the stuff you do today. Now you can learn taxidermy through videos, you can go to schools, you can do classes, you can learn everywhere. When I was 12 years old, nobody shared secrets.
Sure. Oh.
The only way you could learn.
I never thought about it that way.
Oh, it was a hush-hush thing. Nobody shared this because.
And you think you'd be in a kid that you want to get into it, they would be super interested.
You got to think about the time period, though. It was.
Not a day over 35.
Oh, I love you. No, but I mean, seriously, people. It was such a tight-held, secret. People didn't want to share whatever they learned. And there just wasn't computers. There wasn't internet. There wasn't all that stuff. And so you had to learn on your own. And so I learned from a correspondence course. When I was 14, there was a local taxidermist that was teaching classes. He was a school teacher, and he taught a little basic mini course. He was not a very good taxidermist.
Oh, no.
but you couldn't learn to become one yourself.
You know, there was so much. Because when you're 12 and you're reading this stuff, you know, you can barely comprehend half of the words. But, you know, it piqued my interest. When I was 14, I learned a lot from this gentleman. He may not have been great, but I learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 15, I started working for a local taxidermist. And he was a fantastic guy, very good taxidermist. I learned a ton from him. When I was took me and molded me a lot.
Wow.
Learned
he was your mentor.
Yes.
I love that.
That's fantastic. I can't wait to talk about what Wendy has got, what pies she's had her hands in, because one of them has to do with a world famous gorilla that everybody in Wisconsin and the Midwest knows about. But particularly if you're from Wisconsin, you're going to know who we're talking about, and you're not going to believe the way in which she helped preserve the legacy of a gorilla. That's why Raised in Wisco is so cool. I mean, come on. Did you really think you were going to listen to a show and get to hear about the world famous gorilla based right here in Wisconsin and have a person on the show who's going to tell us all about it? This is Raised in Wisco.
Not much too young to keep this damn old. Lord, I'm much too young to keep this damn old.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes.
But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding or clean water protections or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's Midnight Cinderella, but don't you worry none. Cause I'm Peter Peter, the pumpkin eater, and the party has just begun. Yes, your Prince Charming wasn't after all, cause he sure seemed different right after the ball. I guess more than horses.
Raised in Wisco's your spot to jam out and get everything you need to know about the great outdoors. I'm Joel Clayfish. That's Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
In the studio today, we are so jacked. We've got Ellie Mae Lawton with an awesome recipe that we did on the ice. There are some little disasters in that portion, but we're going to hear about how to make fantastic Canada Goose stir fry. Easy peasy in your kitchen.
Lemon squeezy?
Not as easy on the ice. Oh. Sure, you can add it.
There was no lemon in that recipe, but we can add it.
Lemon goes great. Stir fry
easy.
It really does. Stir fry easy. Wendy Christensen is here, and not only is she an award, a worldwide award-winning taxidermist, that does not describe this woman's
no.
life. That doesn't touch the surface nope. of the adventures this woman has been on. In fact, I have wrangled her into coming on this show again. I'm so excited about it. And I'm going to tell you something. Wendy and I could sit down here in the studio and just, I could listen to her for hours on end. It'd be 5 a.m. I wouldn't have lost any sleep. I could just listen to her stories. This woman is so experienced and had such unbelievable life experiences that books should be written about it. Movies should be made about it. But one of the coolest things in my belief that she has worked on has been the beloved gorilla of the Milwaukee County Zoo, which just about if you haven't heard of this, I'm telling you, there are words that Gen Z uses that half of us haven't heard of. Well, if you haven't heard of Samson, the world famous gorilla at the Milwaukee County Zoo who lived there for decades and stole the hearts of all Wisconsinites, mm-hmm. he was so beloved that the Milwaukee County Museum had a replica of Samson, an actual replica of actual Samson in the museum for people, for his lore to continue. Wendy Christensen actually worked on Samson yes. at the Milwaukee County Museum and how it got there. Gosh, just tell us. Tell me.
Stop
how.
Talking so to us. Talk.
Just tell us.
Okay. Well,
please continue.
So Samson died in 1981. I started at the museum in 1982. So when he died in 1981, there was a taxidermist in Waukesha, Gary Zahner. He was a real well-known taxidermist that actually was contracted by the zoo to skin him and mount him for them, for the zoo. So Gary went out and he made a death mask of Samson, which is a cast of the animal of Samson's face.
Did you say a death mask?
Yeah, that's what they call it. And it's a.
They did that in Egypt too sometimes, yes.
They did it even in Western United States. They did casts of people and kind of a memento, I guess, for family members or whatever reason. Yes, they did. But plaster cast of the face. And they did that oftentimes to look at for reference when they were sculpting an animal or sure. whatever. So he made a death mask and he skinned Samson. And the purpose was to do a actual taxidermy mount for the zoo. And then when the public found out about this, there was this huge outcry by the community. Half of the community said, you can't mount Samson.
Oh,
he
no.
was too much like a human. And the other half said, you have to mount him. He was a Milwaukee icon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
And the zoo just kind of got all, embroiled in all of this, controversy. And they did nothing. And he just sat in the freezer of Gary Zahner, of the local taxidermist. So it sat in that freezer. And then,
Do you think Gary Zahner ever was like, hey, I see something cool.
Every time you walk through his house.
I mean, I can't look. I got a pretty cool studio here. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
Every time.
But that would be
Samson
awesome.
In the freezer, I'd be like, hey.
Do you want to see
something
every
cool?
Time. See, and Gary Zahner was a friend of mine. And oh, so every man. Time you went to his house, you opened that freezer door and there was Samson's face staring at you.
Every time. That is awesome. So, wow.
Jess, I just saw you put your hand on your head.
Yes. So anyhow, I started there when I was very, very young. I got the job when I was, it's a long story. I didn't get to that. But anyhow, so when I, in 84, we asked for his skin back. You know, we figured, okay, the zoo's not going to have him mounted. So we already had his carcass, at the museum. They had given us his carcass. So we had put his skeleton on display because the public kept asking, "Kay, where's Samson? We want to see Samson. Mm-hmm. We want to see Samson." So we put his skeleton on display and that wasn't enough. The community,
no, that is not enough.
They wanted to see Samson. Yeah. So when we got the skin, I thawed the skin out and it was slipping, which means sure. The outer layer of epidermis was coming off in large sheets. So at some point, the skin had been spoiling or something happened.
Oh.
When we thawed it out, we could not save it for a taxidermy mount.
Oh. Zahner showed too many people with that door open.
No, I'm just open all the time.
I'm not placing
Jesse
blame. I'm not placing blame. I have no.
Zahner got a little zany with showing people.
No, dead and I joke. Don't. I don't want to place blame on anybody. But anyhow, so what we did was I saved a skin. I salted and dried it because it was very important scientifically. Samson sure. was a wild captured gorilla. So for scientific purposes, we needed to preserve that
absolutely.
For
study.
Yeah. For DNA, whatever purposes. So that skin was very important for me to make this recreation. So later on, many years later, skipping a lot of museum's directors. Yeah. Directors. Our Waukesha County executive became our director.
Yep.
Dan Finley came to me and says, "Can we make a mount of Samson?" And I said, "No, but I can make this artificial recreation." Dan said, "I like it." He said, "I want you to do it this way." He said, "I want you to make it in front of the public."
Wow. What a great idea.
He said, "I want you to do it live with cameras on you."
Fantastic.
Wow.
So I did it.
Neat.
He was brilliant. So I did it in my studio initially, where people could log in from their home and watch me.
Oh.
And then the rest of it, when it got past the real messy part, we actually did it down in an exhibit gallery, and we did an entire exhibit about gorillas all around it.
Yes, I was there.
Did you see it?
Absolutely.
And so we did me in the middle of the room making him, and then all around it, we brought Sambo, which was his buddy that was raised with him.
Yeah.
And we reunited, made a big thing. We reunited Samson and Sambo together, mm-hmm. and then we had a whole exhibit about gorillas and natural history and gorillas and pop culture. But the cool thing was that the public could watch me make them.
Wow.
That is
so neat. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, people have different opinions about taxidermy. Mm-hmm. Should it happen? Should it not? Mm-hmm. Is it bizarre? Is it dark to recreate the life of an animal that's mm-hmm. dead or been eaten? You know, mm-hmm. and I like to look at this and say, there were so many opportunities for education and mm-hmm. learning. And you were really at the quintessence of milking every possibility of that.
Yes.
And this is what study is about.
Right.
So not only was it this fascinating thing that the community wanted, it's something that you were able to help show people how taxidermy works, how recreation works. Because when you saw that Samson in the museum, you thought for sure, you thought dead on, you were looking at Samson.
Sure. Oh, 100%.
He was the same. His posture, his stance. Mm-hmm. It was so fantastic. I can't wait to continue talking about this. This is why it's so great and important for you to listen to Raisin Wisco.
It's Peter Peter, the pumpkin eater, and the party has now begun.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. CBS News Brief. President Trump says his plan for broad reciprocal tariffs will still go into effect on April 2nd after imposing and then pausing tariffs on Mexican and Canadian goods last week. Canadian Ambassador Kirsten Hillman said on CBS's Face the Nation, talks are ongoing.
Canadians feel under economic attack. I think our new prime minister, when that person comes in, will prioritize trying to have a good and healthy and productive relationship with the president.
Florida Republican Senator Rick Scott spoke on CNN about his continuing support of Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency.
I'm very comfortable that Donald Trump, Elon Musk, our agency heads, they're going to do the best they can. And if they make a mistake, they will fix their mistake.
Brush fires in the Hamptons in New York are mostly contained, but Suffolk County Executive Ed Romaine is still worried.
We are concerned because the winds are still blowing that it might spark up again, and we have people out all over the place.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It's the Bucks and the Cavaliers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks host the Cavaliers, the number one team in the NBA's Eastern Conference, 7 o'clock tonight. Now, last night, the Bucks losing to the Orlando Magic in five-serve form, 111-109. That snapped a four-game Bucks winning streak. College basketball, it was Marquette's senior day. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur in attendance. But the Golden Eagles let an eight-point lead slip away, and they lost to number sixth-ranked St. John's, 86-84. Marquette head coach Shaka Smart.
You know, credit to St. John's. They stayed tough. You know, when you have that type of momentum, you have to keep it going.
In Madison, the Badgers losing at home to Penn State, 86-75. Wisconsin center Stephen Crowell.
I think, like Coach said in the locker room, just the bite wasn't there necessarily. Like he said, to end the first half, then all the way through the second half. I just think we didn't have enough grit, enough bite in that second half, and credit to them for taking it to us.
That's the Badger Stephen Crowell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. Tonight, mostly clear, lows around 30. Mostly sunny and breezy for Monday with a high near 65. Clear skies Monday night, 27. For Tuesday, sunny and 40 degrees. 50 for Wednesday, 60 for Thursday. Mid to upper 60s Friday.
It's 60 at our studios.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max fakes the three, takes the three. Left side, yes, sir.
Flee.
Pivots, fades, flips. Good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it. With the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR. Streaming live on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. In a brief to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, a bipartisan group of former county election directors urged the court to reject a claim that as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible last November. And a former state Supreme Court justice is arguing in another appeals case that gerrymandering by the state legislature is akin to stuffing the ballot box. We followed the claims from state Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin that as many as 65,000 registered eligible voters had incomplete registrations in a race he lost by 734 votes to incumbent Justice Allison Riggs. The race is the only unresolved election in the country. In late February, a bipartisan group of 42 former county election directors filed a brief outlining why the voters should be considered valid and concluding the citizens of North Carolina who obey the laws and the direction of the elections administrators should not have their votes discarded. In another North Carolina case, former state Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr is arguing in state appeals court that the legislature's gerrymandered voting districts manipulate election outcomes. By packing voters by party into a district, he argues, it violates the state constitution's guarantee of free elections with a fair count. Orr told the Charlotte News and Observer, if they can't stuff the ballot box, how can they stuff the voter pool? We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
For a crust of bread, when the last man dies for just words that he said, that shelter over the poorest head. We shall be free. When the last thing.
Oh, man. Garth Brooks, he just really does. His music is timeless, I'm telling
it
you.
It is, though.
I'm Joel Clayfish. That is Danielle Fairman. This is Raised in Wisco, heard on every civic media station throughout Wisconsin, 21 of them. You can hear us anywhere you want, or tell them where else they can listen,
You
Danielle.
Can listen to us on civicmedia.us. Search for Raised in Wisco. You can hear all of our past episodes. You can listen to us or watch us on Facebook. You can listen to us on YouTube as well. And then if you want to hear the reruns, because I know you're going to want to hear about Samson again, listen to us on Spotify and then on, what's the other one? Apple.
There we That's go. Right. There is always a reason to listen to the show in retrospect if you miss us, because I'm telling you, this week's episode, and every week episode surprises me on how fascinating they are.
Yes.
We talk about food. We talk about how to make food, how to use the great outdoors of Wisconsin. This week, we've got Wendy Christensen here, and her husband, Mike, is with us in the studio as well. And Ellie Mae Lawton is here for a fantastic recipe in our recipe segment of the show. I am so fascinated by this. I can't. This woman has lived 10 lifetimes in one.
Yes.
She has worked on Body Worlds. Okay. She's a taxidermist. Yes. Yes. She's a taxidermist, but she has worked. She has taught in the museum studies area at UW Milwaukee. She has worked on Body Worlds, which is literally the creation of human bodies that went museum to museum across the country. I saw it myself. To say it's fascinating and creepy in the same breath is absolutely
so
accurate.
Cool. I'm on the creepy side
it's
of it.
So interesting and fascinating. And I believe it was done with such dignity that you can really, it was a real learning experience. She worked on that. The best part of what I'm going to tell you is that I have conned her into coming back on Raised in Wisco.
I know, I'm so excited.
We could do shows upon shows with Wendy Christensen. But right now, we're talking about something that is near and dear to all Wisconsinites, and that is the preservation of Samson the Gorilla. Samson the Gorilla is an icon of the Milwaukee County Zoo, who lived until 1981 and lived because of Wendy's work in the hearts and minds of folks throughout Wisconsin. You had just, brought us up to speed on how he had gotten there and what you were working on. It was televised. You were showing people how you made this recreation from the actual Samson, his actual skin and his actual carcass and his face. You made the replica because tell me about the pressure of making something that people look at and say, that is Samson.
Yes. Okay. So definitely a very good question. So Samson, to Milwaukeeans, he was a special animal. And the younger generation, a lot of them have heard of Samson. And just the fact that they've heard of Samson, an animal that's been dead for decades, just shows his importance, because there's never been an animal at the zoo before or since that had any kind of, stature like that. People would say, we're going to the zoo to see Samson. They didn't say we're going to the zoo. They say we're going to see Samson.
Yes.
And I mean, that just shows his importance. And he had a way of working the crowd, and that's why he had a way of just being that important animal. So, and the reason I think that he was so important is because I had to capture that essence of that animal.
How do you capture that in a still form?
That was the challenge.
Relives.
Yes.
Danielle, did you ever see him while he was alive?
No, I was born in 88.
Yeah. Okay. No, you did.
He died in 81.
Ellie was born in 88.
Same.
Yeah. So so here's a perfect example. These two women are fascinated by the lore of Samson and never got. Now, I, as a small child, I was 9 years old, I got to see him. Mm-hmm. And that is emblazoned in me because Samson played to the crowd.
Yes, he had that look and he played the crowd.
He would do this and then he'd look up and then he'd run and grab something, come forward.
Yep.
He'd look down, then he'd look up, and he almost had a smack-eating grin on
his face. He had a way about. So for those of you guys that never saw him, he had always had his arms crossed, and he had this looked out of the corner of his eyes with just
sassy,
very sassy.
And he ate it up.
And he'd wait till he had a big crowd in front of him, and he would run at that glass, and he'd pound the glass with all of his might, and he'd run away. And if he almost had a way of smirking, like, ha ha, I gotcha. And the crowd would scatter. And he actually did. Two or three times, I've forgotten. No, I think three times he actually cracked the glass.
No way.
Wow. Now he could.
Well,
you know,
how much pressure does it take to crack that glass?
A lot. And because the glass, now, you know.
He probably could have broken it if he wanted.
No, he could. Urban legend had that he did break it and he got out. But it was urban legend because there was plexiglass between. But now part of the cool story of making Samson, the recreation that I did, was I worked with Sam LaMalfa. Sam LaMalfa was Samson's zookeeper the last 10 years of Samson's life. So while I was making the recreation in the museum gallery, Sam was right there with me. When Sam retired from the zookeeper job, he became a docent at the museum.
That's so cool.
So when I was building Samson, Sam's right here next to me. I'm making Samson. Sam's here and Sam's telling stories.
Aw, that's perfect.
It's perfect. So I've got all Sam's fantastic close-up photographs that I'm using to recreate Samson. And Sam's telling stories. I'm working on them. And the two of us together had this great rapport with the public.
Yeah.
So we had people that would come back every couple weeks and see how far I got along. And Sam would tell stories and they'd be like, oh, I remember when Samson got out. And Sam would be like, well, no, he never got out. But, you know. So, I mean, it was really, really cool.
He was the fact checker of the group.
But he was also the one that could really, really relate to them and tell them.
Sure.
Tell them.
I bet it was a sad day for him when Samson died.
It was. And Samson actually died of a heart attack. And when they did the necropsy, which is the animal version of an autopsy, they found that he had had, I think, 5 prior heart attacks.
Wow. What?
Oh, wow. They didn't even know.
So how old was Samson?
32.
32?
That's actually relatively young for a gorilla.
Really? Yeah.
Man, and so you were part of trying to get people to feel that personality in a still sculpture.
Hmm. Absolutely, and that was what was crucial, was to capture that look. And to get that expression across. So yes, it was very, very much what I tried to capture was his look. And
well, certainly did.
Oh, thank you. Because to take a static form, like you said, and not even a real skin and real hair to make that look, that was the challenge.
Did you do the same thing with Sambo?
No, Sambo was an actual real taxidermy mount.
Okay. Yeah.
So Sambo died when he was 9.5 years old. He died of tuberculosis.
What?
Oh, really? Wow.
So he was actually mounted by Harvey Meyer, who was a taxidermist at the time. Again, way before my time then. And so he is an actual skin mount.
So you may have said this, but there's so much going on right now in my head. What did you actually make him out of?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
Thank you for asking. Yeah. So... Okay, this is a long story. I hope I have time. So because I had his real skeleton, I started with a fake skeleton.
Okay.
I didn't want to use his real bones, but I wanted to use bones inside. So I bought an artificial skeleton from a company named Bone Clones.
Oh, nice.
Oh my gosh.
So Bone Clones had an extra large male gorilla cast replicas.
Doesn't
replicas.
Seem like there's a big market for that.
No, that's there is. You
Someone's
never know.
Making money out of Bone Clones.
So I went to Bone Clones and I bought the skeleton and I compared him to Samson's real bones. But Samson was the largest gorilla ever in captivity.
Oh.
At one point he was 652 pounds.
Wow.
Which is like 150 pounds larger than they're supposed to be.
Okay.
So
which may have led to his heart
attack. It was. And actually when Sam got a hold of him the last 10 years of his life, he put him on a diet and he lost about 100 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Unfortunately, probably too late. Mm. But so I took all of the bones and I compared them to Samson's bones and I had to lengthen all of the bones to make him Samson sized.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Because Samson was so big. And so
that's got to be a heck of a project
in
itself.
It was a big project. So I made all the bones to proportion. And I put it in the pose I wanted, made the bones. So that became an armature. Then I, on that armature, then I poured liquid foam, two-part foam, that expands, just like your all your foam that's in all your mannequins here for your animals.
You mean they're not real?
Who'd have thought it, right?
Flesh and bone.
Yeah. So I poured the liquid foam, then over let it expand, and I carved all the muscles and all the detail.
Carved all, oh wow.
All the detail in the anatomy. So that's what's in the body, okay? The face now, I took that death mask that Gary Zahner made, that nice death mask that he made. Okay, this is a kind of detailed thing that I worked out. I made a cast of his death mask. I retooled it. I added, it's very hard to explain, but I added more to it. I made the sagittal crest. So his cast was just a cast of this portion of the face.
Sure. Okay.
Just the front portion of the face.
Okay.
I extended it and made the whole sagittal crest, the whole back of the head. And I, using the photographs that I had, the good photographs, I retooled all of the expression because a cast of a death mask, I should say, is a cast of a dead animal. All the expression is gone. There's no blood pressure, no muscle tone, no personality. There's no expression. So I retooled all of that detail, put back that life. And I temporarily set glass eyes in that rotated look, how he always looked at you out of the corner of his eyes.
Yes.
And I temporarily set them. And then I put some keys in. It's key points that are square pegs that I temporarily put on the glass eyes that would be cast in place. Because now I'm going to make another mold of that.
Oh, man.
And that mold is going to be casting and replicating the eyes that are going to be transferred into the next mold, which is then going to be rubber. So the face, it's a long story, but the face is going to be made into 3/4-inch thick rubber.
Huh.
So his face is actually rubber.
Wow. So how cool that this is all television documented.
Yeah.
I feel like we're 6, 7, 8 months in. How long is this?
Yeah, probably about that. Because the whole project, they had me on display doing this for a whole year. I could have done it in less time, but they wanted me doing it in a year.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, there's a video, there's a film of this, a DVD.
Watching that tomorrow. I have off work.
I don't know where it is, but they used to sell it in the gift shop.
Oh.
So then all the hairs I'll explain that when we get to that, how I got the hairs. All the hairs from the back of the head to the chest are all implanted one hair at a time.
Oh my God.
So I could vary them from heavy.
Do you think if I get thin on the top, you could do that for me?
I could do it because it's all implants just like that. So yeah, I made a special tool that I implanted it into that rubber. I pull the hairs out and the friction holds them all in place. And then I trimmed and colored them. And then all of the rest of the hair is done in a material. It's a flexible four-way fabric flex that then I cut and sewed in different pieces that to get the weft and warp, you know, so you get the hair patterns.
Oh man.
The way you need them and get all the different directions the way you need it. And then the hands and feet are all sculpted in epoxy. And I had bought hands and feet from the same company, the Bone Clones.
If they had Bone Clones. For bones. Hobby Lobby for bones. Do you think they have bonehead clones? I would probably be like the model. For the model.
They have hair on them.
Oh, and there it is. We had to get those there in there.
Organic dye.
I could tell you about the hair and all that stuff if you have time.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible!
I want to know about the hair.
We're gonna dig a little bit into the cooking segment of the show because I want Wendy to be able to wrap up, and she's promised she's coming back. This is so fascinating. I could listen to this for hours. Yeah. We don't have enough time. This is Raised in Wisco, and this is why you got to listen to this show. You never know where it's gonna go.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Slamming rubber, squealing gears, a jamming local country station, just a blaring on a radio. Pick him up.
This is Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman is joining me. Ellie Mae Lawton is here, and Wendy Christensen, taxidermist to the stars and all around amazing, unbelievable person. I cannot tell you how exciting this is to have her here. She worked on Samson, the famous, the iconic Samson from the Milwaukee County Zoo. She made his legacy permanent in the hearts and minds of Wisconsinites everywhere who loved this animal when he lived, and I think love him as much when he's dead because they go to the museum to see him. He will be moved to the new museum. You were talking about what it took to recreate Samson and his personality in a still figure that people absolutely love to see. We're going to go a little bit into this cooking segment because I want Wendy to be able to wrap up, and she is coming back to Raised in Wisco. We're going to talk much more about Samson, about her work. You're not going to believe it. This woman taxidermied and preserved King Tut's horses.
Oh, yes.
We're going to hear about that.
I cannot wait about that one.
On a future episode. I cannot wait for that. We're going to talk about how she taxidermied King Tut's horses. We're going to talk about how she was part of Body Worlds, the recreation and preservation of human bodies that was on display at museums throughout the United States. This woman's story is quite unbelievable. So we're going to shorten the cooking segment a little bit and continue talking about Samson and wrapping him up. It's unbelievable. I really cannot even explain how fascinating it is. Wendy, the last thing that you were talking about was how you had to go through these meticulous things by implanting hair by hair on Samson, using his actual desk math from his face to turn that into a living looking face on Samson. This is fascinating beyond belief.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So the hair, like I said, the hairs were from the back of his neck, the whole nape or cape of his back all the way to his chest was all done one hair at a time. I'm sorry. Losing my mic room. There we go. Okay. There. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yes. All of those hairs were all implanted one hair at a time.
Oh, yeah, that's incredible.
Made a special tool, that I could do that with. And then, the bigger portions of hair, I made templates that I could sew and glue the hair down and change the weft and warp, like I said. So you kind of had to learn how to be a seamstress. I'm not really a great seamstress, but I learned
there's no way you're not a great seamstress.
I think you're just playing great at everything you try.
Yeah, I know.
And that is why your handsome husband who is here is so enamored with you, Wendy.
Yeah.
You seem to be just great.
Sure. But the kind of fun thing too with the hairs is so this is very kind of a key part of it. So because I had saved his hide, his real skin, to get the hair the way I needed it, I sent samples from six different parts of his hide to a company that makes the hair for Hollywood, for the movie
wow.
industry.
Well, that's cool. Wow. What a great idea.
Yeah, and they custom matched it. So
jeez.
That took 5 months
just back and forth for them to send samples and me to approve them or change them. Okay, you know, add 3% black to 1% this to 3% back, and back and forth, to get as close a match. And they could not, you know, they can't quite match it. They can't, like, almost all wild animals have 2-3-tone hairs per hair. So they'll have a grizzled tip onto each hair, or it'll change colors with it.
Blacks and browns and grays and tans.
They can't really do that. So I had to have a base color, and then I'd have to hand color the rest of it. I'd either have to.
Oh my gosh.
Every hair.
Yeah, every hair. Either magic markers or I would have to use something to, you know, airbrush it or do something like that.
Oh my goodness.
So unbelievable.
We came up with a good base color for everything, and then a good, like, density. So the majority of the hair is acrylic or yak. And acrylic or goat yak or goat and acrylic or whatever. And it's all different densities. And then I trimmed and colored and cut.
For your brain to have figured this out, it is so fascinating.
Mind blowing. There's no way I would think all that detail would go into that. Yeah, it's such a masterpiece, such art.
Well, that's partly why it took as long as it did. And it took that long to, you know, to figure all of these processes out, and then just working with these companies, you know, to get this back and forth. So once I created and finished Samson, the really cool thing too was there's a competition, the World Taxidermy Championships, and they have a category at the championships for recreations.
Okay.
Ooh.
And I asked my Dan Finley, the museum president, I said, "What do you think about me entering Samson?" In the world.
And I know Dan Finley well enough to go say that he said, absolutely.
He said, go for it.
Go for it.
And he said, go for it. And I entered it and I won the whole shebang.
That's fantastic.
That is so cool. I don't think it would be possible for you to not have won. Seen this creation.
Thank you.
I don't see how on earth you could have won.
Well, I mean, I was thrilled to win the best in the world recreation, but I ended up winning best of show, best. I mean, I won People's Choice. I was so thrilled. I was so honored.
I cannot imagine what that meant to you and what a final kind of approval it was for what you had gone through and done. For this state.
I was very blessed.
For the community of Milwaukee, for Samson, for the education of gorillas, primates. It's so fitting that this was kind of a conclusion to that project, because that project was so incredible.
Thank you.
We have virtually no time. I'm going to tell you, Ellie Mae, what did we make on the ice?
I don't know. My brain is scattered right now.
We made the most amazing.
We made a Canada Goose stir fry. It was delicious. We'll talk about it at next show.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that at the next show.
No, don't be sorry.
We can talk about this forever. I'm sad the show has to come to an end, but it does, and it goes in a flash. Wendy Christensen, Danielle Fairman is here. Ellie Mae Lawton, our chef of the show. Wendy, you are a fascinating woman and unbelievably successful woman. I am so proud to say, I feel like we've gotten kind of an exclusive
here. Honestly,
thank
you so much.
This is, and you're an incredible guest, an incredible person. We haven't even, by the way, scratched the surface of Wendy Christensen, and that's why she's going to be back every week for the next 3 years.
Oh, right.
I agree.
No, is there a deal? Can we put that deal together?
Done.
I could listen for that long. Folks, we love having you along. On Raised in Wisco. It means a lot to us, and we hope we help enrich your life and your view of Wisconsin's fantastic outdoors. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. I've got an off day coming up, but don't worry. We've got you covered. We'll be chatting with Mark Pocan at 3:00 about the Elon Act. Do we really want billionaire overlords controlling our government?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Never-Clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. There's concern in some circles for the nation's weather and climate agency, NOAA. The department helps predict weather emergencies.
Sources tell CBS News that over 1,000 employees are potentially at risk of losing their jobs if the Department of Commerce accepts NOAA's plans. This, in addition to previous cuts to probationary employees and those that accepted buyouts, would result in an overall loss of 20% of NOAA's staff, which previously numbered more than 12,000 people worldwide. Tracy Wolf, CBS News.
There was a protest today in Boston against Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, which is spearheading the slashing of the federal government.
We don't need this company anymore, and we don't need Elon Musk.
It was one of a number of protests across the country this weekend. President Trump says tariffs on Canadian and Mexican goods will still be enacted April 2nd after